Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hi, beautiful humans. Welcome to episode number 20. Woo! Of Grovercation. Oh my God, it is so, so warm. I know I complained about this on my last podcast episode, but it's still warm, guys. It's still really warm, which is why I am so grateful that when I recorded this episode, I got to sit outside in some beautiful nature. Ah, honestly, I came away from this episode feeling so zen. This beautiful lady who I'm about to talk to is the most calming influence, honestly. And she introduced me to something called, what were they? Tibetan kind of like brass bowls, and they kind of vibrate at a frequency that's supposed to help your chakra. And oh my God, I actually just ordered one. That's how much I love them. And yeah, honestly, her voice as well is incredibly hypnotic. Many times through the episode, I found myself sat there with my head just gently rested on my hand, looking at this beautiful lady's face. And then she began to kind of wrap up what she was saying. And I was like, shit, I didn't think of a question. But yeah, I hope she has the same effect on you. If you're listening to this episode before bed, it's going to make you so chill. If you're listening to it anywhere else in life, proceed with caution. You might just fall into a daze and miss your train, or God forbid, don't listen to it while you're driving, maybe. Just a word of warning. But yeah, she's amazing. She's also go-go dancing at Disgrace on Friday. If you're not going to our Bikini Beach Babe party on Friday, then what the fuck are you doing? Check it out, guys. Yeah, it's going to be wet and wild. Woo! Right. Let's crack on. So the beautiful lady in question is the beautiful, hypnotic, snake-charming babe, Melanie Ivy. You may have seen her dancing with her snakes at Disgrace or on stage with Disgrace at Download Festival, but she is a multi-dimensional queen. She is so fascinating. Honestly, like so many layers and so wonderful. You're going to love this. And if you learn a thing or two, then even better. This is one of the only episodes I've ever gone into, guys. And I've been like, I don't know fucking anything about what we're about to be talking about. So it was quite a challenge for me as well. And it was actually so fucking interesting. As I keep saying, you're going to love it. And you're going to feel so chill. Oh yeah. Enjoy it. Enjoy it. All right. Let's crack on. So if you want to be finding me on social media, guys, you can find me at Cats and Crows. KatasandCrows. And if you're listening to this episode on Acast, there are lots of lovely little click-through links for you to learn more about. So much to learn. Good God, so much. Have a read. So interesting. Really, really, really is. If you're not listening on Acast, then you are probably listening on Apple Podcasts. So if you are, please, 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 please leave me a lovely 5-star rating. And if you have time, no pressure, no pressure at all, leave me a little written review as well. All the stars, as it helps more people discover Crovercation and spread the good word. Feminist good word. Oh, yeah. Alrighty. Without further ado, please welcome to episode 20, the beautiful Mel Ivy to Corovisation.
When I was growing up, all my role models were male. I didn't see anyone I could relate to in the press, online, anywhere. Now, I'm surrounded with the most phenomenal women. They've each endured unique hardships and survived. More than survived, they thrive. But still, women are not equal in the world, not represented in the media, not treated equally online, and still subjected to sexism in everyday life. Alternative women especially are more a hashtag than they are real humans. I want to change that. I want you to see the women I see. I want you to hear them. This is Corovisation.
Hi, beautiful humans. Welcome to Corovisation. Today, I'm sat in a gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous back garden with a gorgeous, gorgeous lady. We're actually surrounded by nature, and it's very fitting for this episode. I think you're going to enjoy it. I know last episode was a bit deep, was a bit emotional, so this one I thought I'd make a little more lighthearted and happy and lovely. So please welcome my beautiful guest, Mel Ivy.
Hi.
Hey, girl. How are you?
Yeah, I'm excellent. It's amazing to be out in this weather, day off, and happy to share this experience with you.
Thanks, girl. Well, thank you for having me in your beautiful home. It's honestly so stunning. Do you find you like being in nature?
Oh yeah.
Yeah?
100%, especially as over the years I've accrued more animal companions in my house. I'm more connected to nature, and maybe it's just my age as well, but it makes me happier.
Yeah. Mel has so many animals. I just met her iguana.
Chinese water dragon.
A water dragon.
Yeah.
He was gorgeous. You have so many animals.
Yeah.
You're such a kind of like calm and naturey and spiritual person.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, and I seem to attract animals that seem to have those qualities as well. Like, all of my snakes are super chilled out.
Oh, yeah, they really are. You perform at disgrace with us sometimes with some of your snakes, don't you?
Yeah.
How do you find they react to that?
They actually really enjoy it because they need exercise.
They do.
And the thing about snakes is they're very different to all the animals that we're used to having. So unlike, say, cats or dogs, they're actually agoraphobic. So they don't like open spaces. When they're in their vivariums, they'll like find a little hide and they'll hide there, they'll go in their water bowl. But they do need exercise because out in nature, they'll be climbing trees.
Mm.
So what better way than to exercise with their human?
Oh, that's so cool. I had no idea.
Yeah, I'm like their tree. And so they enjoy
like
the stretch.
Tree.
And the thing is, these aren't like wild snakes. These are domesticated. They've been bred in captivity. So from day one, since they've been born, they've been handled by humans. And so they enjoy the human interaction.
They do.
They do, yeah.
I love that. Mel, the reason I really wanted to bring you on today to chat to you is because I find you such a calming influence. You're very in touch with your spirituality, and I know you do a lot of your work around that as well. What kind of do you do for your job?
Okay, so I'm a psychosynthesis counsellor. It's a type of therapy that is similar to Freud's psychoanalysis. However, this is more spiritually inclined. It's holistic in its approach.
Amazing.
Yes, so I trained in that and qualified about 10 years ago now, and I really love it so much because the person who coined this term psychosynthesis, he was a student of Freud's. He was an Italian psychiatrist called Assagioli.
Cool.
And he went all around the world and exploring different cultures and different areas of wisdom and integrated it into Western ways of thinking. So he especially took from Buddhism, and that's something that I'm quite passionate about as well.
For sure.
Yeah, it's the most scientific way of personal development because it's not about belief in a God.
Yeah.
It's about how to alleviate suffering in our lives for our own training our mind.
Yeah. Yeah, I feel that way as well. I don't particularly follow or practice any kind of religion, but I always take things from religions that are perhaps not the mainstream, like Satanism, the kind of LeVay Satanism, where the God is yourself. You like self-worship and the birthday is kind of a celebration of self.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's way better for personal development.
Well, of course, I mean, end of the day, Buddha himself, Buddha means enlightened one, that wasn't actually his name. I've been to meditation events where they're having their rituals, or pujas, they call them.
Yeah.
And they're bowing down in front of a giant Buddha statue. My meditation teacher was explaining to me it's not the actual Buddha they're bowing down to, it's their own higher self, their own inner Buddha that they're surrendering to.
Wow.
Because at the end of the day, we can either go the path of our ego that our ego wants us to lead, which is like impulses and just doing whatever we please.
Yeah.
No judgment, but that's impulse management. And then there's being higher self, which is where the Buddha, that's what he was trying to show. So
I love that. Yeah. What kind of, where in your life were you when you kind of found this kind of like journey? What started this journey towards?
Well, I've always been interested in it. As a kid, I was always analysing my dreams and writing them down.
Really?
I was always wanting to know why things were, why people were acting the way they did. I mean, my parents did have, they were renting homes for people with mental illnesses, so they had care homes. So I was surrounded by people with a variety of mental health issues. So naturally,
one interesting way to grow up.
Well, right, yeah. I mean, so I was always curious about, you know, mental health issues. I was surrounded by it. And curious about psychology and mythology. I mean, my background is Greek and my dad was a very proud Greek.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they love to share stories about their, you know, culture and mythology. So, and both Freud and Sigmund Jung, they were very passionate about mythology because that existed before modern day psychology came about.
Of course, yeah.
They told about the archetypes and, you know, what's going on in our minds.
Yeah. This is also interesting to me because I've actually, through my kind of own personal journey with my own mental health problems, I've started really getting into more of this kind of like holistic approach recently. Mm-hmm. And I've been through lots of different types of therapy. Mm-hmm. And this is kind of the one that makes me feel most calm. Everything else kind of like winds you up. It's got loads of long jargony words and lots of like medications and stuff like that. Mm. But I don't know, this really makes me feel at peace. Do you find most people when they come to you, they've tried other approaches before, or they come straight to you because they think this is the best way?
Some have and some haven't. Most have tried other approaches, whether it was because of NHS, they just put them with anyone.
Mm.
My friend actually, NHS, gave him for free a counsellor who said, the reason you're suffering is because you haven't turned to God.
Oh my God.
No kidding.
Are you serious?
I'm not joking.
What the hell?
So, and it just shocks me how this is what they're providing to people who can't afford counsellors. So,
yeah,
you're right. And by the way, what you're saying about what makes you feel more calm, trust in your body's response, because holism essentially is working with your body as well as your level of emotions and with how your mind works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that. So if someone was to come to you and they had, I don't know, for example, just kind of like classic depression and anxiety, what would be the process that you would take them through?
Well, as with any client, I want to establish why they're here. So it will be going, what they're presenting symptoms are and finding the underlying causes beneath it and what they really want and establishing that.
Yeah.
Now, people normally come to counselling because they're seeking a corrective emotional experience. Often it's trauma that's happened in childhood, perhaps even from parents, and we create defence mechanisms that save us in the time. But as we get older, we change our environments. They're no longer needed, and yet we're clinging on to them.
Yeah.
And that's causing suffering. Like when we feel stuck or stunted or just suffering, it's because we're resisting change. So that's essentially why someone's coming. And a corrective emotional experience is getting the love from mother to have someone listening to them unconditionally.
Yeah.
And without judgment. And it's great talking to your friends, but because they know you, they've always got their two cents to put in.
That's so true. I always find that. I'm not a big opening up as it is, but if I do open up to my friends, I always come away with loads of ideas, but I don't necessarily come away feeling like I've worked through anything.
Yeah.
Yeah. You need somebody, I guess you do need that impartialist, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So, today, do you find that helping other people helps yourself?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How so?
You know how you just, some people are just, they know they're healers or they know they're good at a certain thing. Like as a teenager, I mean, I wanted to be like a dancer, which I am. I also wanted to be a counsellor. At the time, I wanted to be those people that you write to in magazines, like Agony Aunt type thing.
Yeah.
So I've always wanted to do.
I love that.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
I know, right? A bit cheesy, but I don't know. I just like helping people, but it's part of my spiritual practice as well, really.
Yeah.
I mean, if you take the word spiritual out of it, what you put out, you give in. So you receive. So by doing a good deed or, I mean, it's not a deed that exchanging money for my services, but nonetheless, helping someone to achieve the highest potential and to let go of their suffering is rewarding. Because their light shines more, and if everyone's doing that, then change is going to happen.
I love that. Mm. You must feel so achieved when you really help somebody and you see that kind of light bulb go off in their
awesome
mind.
Feeling. Yeah.
I love that. Do you ever find it hard, though? Do you ever find you're taking away other people's problems with you when you leave? of the session?
I found it overwhelming at first. See, the course that I trained in, it was very thorough in that we needed to have like 500 hours of giving counselling sessions and receiving
That's
it ourselves.
That's really good though, yeah.
For sure.
So
like,
good.
If you want to train to be a counsellor, like not only do you need to have your own counselling to see how it goes, but you have to be careful that you're not projecting your own issues onto the client.
Yeah.
And likewise, when she's project or he is projecting onto you, which is completely normal. They're projecting like mother or father, or in my case, they're projecting daughter onto me. And to not let that trigger your own stuff, you need to have a clear head.
Of course.
And that comes from knowing your mind, really.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so counselling, I would say, helps you make sense of why things are the way they are, how events in the past have shaped you, who you are now. And that's the feminine aspect, that's the love and forgiveness. But then I trained in coaching as well, because coaching activates your will. It works with the here and now. So, okay, what is it you want to achieve? What's holding you back?
Yeah.
Now, normally it's stuff in the past that's holding you back, but it could just be one needs to sharpen their willpower, and that comes with coaching. So I trained in that as well, and I put the two together to make for a fast process.
That's so great. Is there anything else that you want to train in at the moment? Is it an ongoing journey?
I like to keep on with animal assisted therapy, and that's something that's just naturally evolved through my work and through my dancing as well.
Yeah.
So I'd like to keep working with that. I mean, that I don't throw it onto my clients. It's I let them know that it's an optional add-on, because the thing is, with what I focus on is building or helping the client build personal empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, it's building up your willpower, your inner strength, your sense of self-esteem, confidence.
Yeah,
and you need
so important.
Yeah, right. You need this fire to break through the shit of the past, let it go, and you know, be your superwoman or superhero, whatever.
Yeah, I love that.
Yes.
Do you find? I know, obviously. We hang out with a lot, I hang out with a lot of girls. I think through our jobs, we just kind of like come into contact with a lot more feminine people. Do you find more people seek out your services are more feminine?
Yeah.
Not necessarily female, but feminine? Because it's, I guess the public perception of it is it's quite like airy fairy and like holistic and lovely, which is wonderful. But do you find it's that kind of people that seek you out more, or is it quite a mix?
Yeah. I do get men seeking me out more, but it tends to be more for my coaching stuff.
Okay.
I think also there's a bit of taboo with men seeking out counselling.
Yeah.
So it seems like to say you need coaching is somewhat more socially acceptable. So
that's so true.
That could be an issue there as well. But generally it tends to be women. And it's been like that since I started my counselling training. And specifically, I've attracted women who have experienced a lot of trauma, a lot of abuse in the past,
right,
and are seeking just personal power. And that's what's inspired me, really, because that was who I was taking on. And I'm like, you know what, this is actually, I feel like I'm really helping, and I'm getting stronger within myself through helping them as well.
Yeah.
And then tattoos and snakes are just like icing on the cake.
You do a lot of cool jobs, don't you?
I do.
How's your belly dancing career?
Oh, I love it.
Yeah,
I love dancing.
How did you get into that?
I've been dancing all my life.
Yeah,
just different types of dancing. But belly dancing, I started after I left uni. So my brother's mate, actually, her name is Chantelle. She started a belly dancing class in my hometown.
Awesome.
And I just got hooked on it. We formed a belly dancing group. And then a few years later, it was interesting because, like, I kind of, like, when you learn something, you can hit a plateau. That happened with me.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to push myself to perform, but I'm such a perfectionist. And I was just like, I'll do one. I was like, I was so crap, and it ruined my confidence.
Oh,
and
no.
I just stopped dancing. And it got to a point where...
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus... Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
I just stopped completely.
That's so sad.
Anyway, so it was a Croydon tattoo convention, and my friend was running it, and he wanted a performer, and he said, "Do you know any belly dancers?" And I'm like, "I'm not confident to do it enough yet, but I'll bring my mate Chantel, and she's got a snake." She had just started dancing with snakes.
Amazing.
So she came, and I first interacted with her snake. I'm like, "Oh my god, where have you been all my life?"
Really? That was literally just the moment.
Yeah, yeah. And then I just started dancing again, and I joined her group again, and I got a snake as well, and then it just evolved from that. What was that, 4 years ago?
Wow. Do you think the snake really helped you kind of break through with that confidence?
Yes.
Yeah?
100%. Aww. Yeah. I can't explain it, but I mean, how I was in my first snake, I was naturally quite nervous. I mean, I was never scared of snakes, but I'd never had one. So
right.
I'm like,
they're quite different. You don't really, in school, I guess you kind of get an idea of how to look after a dog or a cat, but never do you really interact with snakes at all.
Exactly. I mean, I would need my friend to be in the room if I had her just on my shoulders.
Yeah.
You know, you see me perform with them wrapped around my neck. Mm. So you can imagine the beginning, I was scared. But the thing is like with any animal, that they need to trust you and you need to trust them.
So true.
So after a while, I ended up just surrendering and just like trusting, and it was fine.
Yeah.
Shiva was my first snake. She's helped a lot of people, actually. Two people have overcome phobias with her.
Wow.
One person, she was dealing with trauma after having a miscarriage.
Oh, that's so sad.
Was dancing with her. I showed her how to dance with her a bit, and a few months later she was pregnant again.
Oh my god.
Yeah, no. What? Kidding, actual true story. Yeah,
that's so beautiful.
Yeah,
wow. There must be a real affinity there between you and your snakes. You're kind of like channeling your energy through the snakes to help these people.
I don't know. I think maybe they themselves are powerful conduits of energy. I mean, all animals are very powerful creatures, but there's something about snakes where when you hold them physically, they vibrate and you feel it. And it's a very sensual and invigorating experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've noticed that people who respond best to my snakes, they seek me out naturally, whether it's life circumstances that bring people into my life.
Really?
Yeah.
So you just kind of like meet people and you're like, they kind of get that vibe.
Yeah.
I love that. That's so cool.
Well, that's why I don't promote like my counseling online anymore, because synchronicity is just bringing people in who need it.
Really?
Yeah.
That's so fantastic. Yeah. That must be such a confirmation that you're obviously on the right path.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
I love that. You're obviously a very, as I said earlier, very calm, very spiritual person. What does like spirituality mean to you?
I mean, for me, spirituality means connection to everyone and everything. That everything that is happening within is happening without.
Yeah.
That there is no separation. I've never been one to believe in a god or many gods. I've always been more scientifically minded.
Okay.
And for me, that is everything is energy.
Yes.
Anything you put under a microscope is just atoms. And what is that? It's just space.
Mm.
We're just energy vibrating at, well, it's different frequencies. So everything looks separate. So I say this because I believe that if we are everything, then we are God ourselves.
Yeah.
We have that potential within us. I like the idea of becoming your higher self. And this is what they talk about in my style of counseling. Being your higher self, it's known around different cultures around time as like Christ self, Buddha self. And this is the aspect of us that is what we're growing towards, our highest potential.
Yeah.
So for me, a spiritual practice is remembering every day to be my higher self, really.
Yeah.
To live my truth, to speak my truth. So whatever you want out in the world, if you want more love and compassion coming your way, to yourself, focus on love and compassion.
Yeah, I love that. Do you think humanity as a whole is kind of disconnected from this idea?
Yeah, but at the same time, I'm quite an avid historian, and it's my snakes that have got me researching it.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so naturally I just became more curious about the history and mythology about snakes.
Okay.
And since all pagan religions were essentially serpent worshippers.
Yeah.
In every single place around the world, they worshipped the snake. They revered it. They saw it as very powerful. It wasn't this evil thing.
Yeah. Isn't it that picture of the snake grabbing its own tail.
Ouroboros. Yeah. So that's a symbol of eternity because of the snake, of the way it is, that it's constantly shedding, self-transformation. And it's always been known that snakes are very divine cosmic beings that are full of energy, powerful for things like healing and regeneration. Now, what's interesting is that since Moses' time, so when the Old Testament was, you know, created, when Judaism came about, from then onwards, that's when the snake was associated with sin and Satan.
Oh.
Before that, it wasn't.
So bizarre how it suddenly turned like that.
Funny that. And interestingly as well is that when that happened, when snakes are seen as just pure evil, also the divine feminine principle has also been squashed. So in ancient Greece, I mean, it was still a bit sexist back then, don't get me wrong, it wasn't utopia. However, they did recognize goddesses and that they were powerful spiritual beings. And for true spiritual growth, one needs to balance both the feminine and masculine principle.
Of course, balance. Everything is balance.
Now, monotheism, starting with Judaism and Christianity and so forth, they've squashed it down.
Yeah.
So, and the, have you heard of Kundalini?
I have not, no.
Okay, so in Hinduism, the idea of our life force energy, which is what snake represents, so they see it as a Kundalini, as a snake wrapped in a coil at the base of your spine.
Okay.
And it's dormant. Now, this is a metaphor for our true potential, and that it needs to be activated, needs to be woken up. And when it does, that's when it goes through all the chakras and you have spiritual awakening and you awaken to who you are.
I love that.
Right. So the snake then represents wisdom, spiritual learning and everything. And the thing about Kundalini, it's sexual energy, it's libido.
Yeah.
Now, they don't talk about sexual energy.
Absolutely not. It's very bad. Yeah.
Well, isn't it interesting? They're suppressing the feminine wisdom, making snakes about sin, and saying sex is sin as well.
It's funny how they're using it as like a tool to suppress us or oppress us.
However, now, because of technology, and this is why I fucking love the internet, and social media as well, because now we can all learn, there's nothing is hidden anymore, all information is out there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're grateful to live in a place where we can access everyone on the internet.
But yeah, thankfully.
Right, so people are they're learning, they're waking up now, everything is out there, so people are discovering it now.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's so much better, because you would think automatically somebody who lives quite a holistic life would shun social media or shun the internet. You seem quite the opposite.
No, it's a great tool.
Yeah.
I mean, like with anything, you can abuse it, can't you?
Yeah, that's so true.
Literally anything.
Anything. Yeah. Do you find that a lot of people that come to you for therapy, etc., do you think social media and the internet and the kind of information age has really heightened their trauma or whatever's causing them pain?
What, by using social media?
Yeah, because I feel like a lot of people I've spoken to about mental health, social media has been quite a core part, or at least just the internet, or always being attached to your phone is quite a core part of what's going on or what's going wrong. Do you think that's true?
Yeah, well, of course. I mean, it's a, when you get down to it, it's a, an attachment to an identity that we want to make it real. But I mean, for me, my belief is that there is no self. I mean, we're all just consciousness and will. If there is no, everything else is just thoughts that we're the own dramas that we create in our life, and then we'll seek out to confirm it. So long way, sorry, I'm kind of rambling.
No, I love it.
This happens sometimes.
No, please do.
So okay, so we have a, I say I want to create an Instagram account, and I'm like, okay, this is my dancer, my name is Melanie Ivy, and I want to get so many likes, build up my business, and then I get attached to it. I get attached to how it feels to be recognized, have the likes, to have the positive
completely
compliments. And then the danger, of course, is that where we put our attention, our energy follows. So then if we're constantly thinking about it, then that becomes our reality. And then say if we get, we don't get as many likes as we want, we get negative criticism, you know, we get trolls.
Yeah.
And for, if you already don't have a strong, stable sense of self and you don't have the healthy level of self-esteem, then it's going to really fuck things up.
Yeah. So it really does start with a sense of self.
Of course.
It's just kind of amplifying it.
That
is the world, isn't it? Let's talk about something cheerier. Let's talk about your animals.
Okay, go for it.
What kind of animals do you have?
I have six snakes.
I didn't know you had six.
I never would have thought I'd have six snakes. I was happy with one. And then I got my second one, Ghost, because I wanted like a bigger snake to dance with. And then it all just kicked off from there, really. Half of them are rescued or adopted now.
That's so good.
Yeah, I don't buy them anymore. I rehome them.
Yeah.
I'm at my limit, though, so if anyone's listening and wants me to rehome, no, please, no.
Do you think that the animals kind of find you in that kind of journey? Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that.
And they all have their own individual personalities. It's fantastic. My boa constrictors, Khaleesi and Jogo, they love to dance more than the others. Like, if you get, they tap on the window when they want to play and you get them out, they'll naturally wrap themselves around me or my friend who's holding them.
Yeah, I've noticed that when you're dancing.
Yeah, they enjoy it. So I have my smaller ones as well, who are just a bit more derpy and like to socialise with the other snakes.
Aww.
I have one who I tend to just use more for workshops because that was Shiva.
Yeah.
I don't really use her for dancing so much. And I've recently rehomed 2 ball pythons.
Oh, amazing.
And one of them's got smiley faces on them.
No, you're going to have to show me that. I have to see that.
Yeah, so, and then, yeah, I'm Reggie, my Chinese water dragon.
Oh, I love them. Yeah. Do people come to your home for your therapy, or do you go to a place?
So I rent a room, okay. But with any client that, you know, I've built trust in, because at the end of the day, you know, I still got to be careful.
Yeah,
I can invite them to my home if they're requesting animal therapy. Because also in my home I have a cat, and she's actually given some sessions as well.
Really?
Yep, I have a Siamese cat who very much loves humans and loves attention and to be petted.
Aww.
So, I mean, you have a cat as well. You
I
know
do.
How therapeutic it is to have a cat.
So therapeutic. I've read somewhere even that the purrs, the vibration of the purrs, actually like aids with healing and stuff like that.
Yes, you're absolutely right.
They're so, animals are just so great. I think, obviously, don't get an animal if you can't afford to look after it or give it the time. But I think everyone would benefit having pets.
Well, this is I also teach workshops, and that for me is a way for people who've never interacted with a snake and don't want to commit to buying one, where they can come and they can learn about the mythology of snakes and what we're talking about, repression of divine feminine, and can hold them and can just dance about with them as well, so get a taste for what it's like. So
without the commitment.
Exactly. I'm happy for people to come and meet them if it means that the last thing I want is for someone to buy a snake and think, hey, I'm going to dance with it, and the snake doesn't want to dance, you lose interest, and then
the poor snake gets lost interest in.
Yeah.
Aww.
Yeah, that's the last thing I want. So yeah, I have workshops in my house specifically for that.
You're such a giving person, Mel. You really
Thank
are.
You. Yeah.
Have you always found it to be this way? Were your parents this way as well?
No, I'm very much the black sheep in my family.
Oh, really?
Oh, they're amazing people in the way they are, but we're very different.
Yeah. Maybe that's what pushed you into it.
I think so.
Yeah. I love that. You're such a great person to have a conversation with.
Thank you.
This is so different to any other podcast I've had. Like, I've had so many interesting women on my podcast, but you're the first person that's really known a lot about your subject, and I've had absolutely no idea about it at all.
It's power of the snakes. It's my pleasure. Honestly, I can keep talking about it.
No, please do. Like, do you have anything, if you could tell the world something about what you do, your jobs and your snakes, that you don't think they would already know, what would it be?
I guess to sum up, to connect everything that we've been talking about now, I've always been seeking a way in the last 10 years to combine both my dancing and my love for psychology and counselling. And I've always kept them separate, and the snakes have actually been the common factor that made me realise that the theme in all of this is female empowerment.
Yeah.
And my own personal journey, where I'd had low self-esteem and low confidence, and the thing about wanting to help others is that you can let people walk over you if you don't have boundaries.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I didn't really have boundaries back then, so my own personal experience of figuring out through the counselling and then coaching about how to build up my own inner power to believe in myself, to get my voice heard, and to do what I love, and the biggest one for me, to let go of people thinking about me. And that actually helped getting visible tattoos. I wonder if you can relate to that as well.
Yeah. I think so.
Yeah. And then the snakes, like I say, were icing on the cake, in that it's something I can't explain, but when you hold them and interact with them, it's very empowering, and it's easier to let go of stuff, and it gives you this sense of motivation to crack on with things.
Yeah.
I procrastinate a lot less since I've had snakes.
Really?
I can't explain it.
That's so interesting, because I am an absolute procrastinator.
I used to be ruminating
till the cows come home. It's so bad, isn't it? Do you think that's more of a feminine thing? kind of procrastination, or do you think men do it as well? They just don't talk about it.
The latter. I think everyone does it. Yeah. Maybe they're just too proud to admit it.
Yeah, I think so. It seems to keep coming back around to the female empowerment thing. Mm-hmm. Do you think men can benefit from female empowerment too?
Yep, because end of the day, we all have those energies within ourselves. We have the masculine and the feminine. Mm-hmm. And so what religion has done for the last thousands of years has... we're now emerging from is both the feminine and the masculine to be respected. So if we see the masculine representing will and the feminine representing love, so societies where the feminine's been really repressed and it's just too much willpower, that's when we get war and, you know, control, domination, colonizing. When it's completely female but not masculine, it's too much love, then nothing actually gets done.
Yep.
Yeah, so we need a healthy balance of both. So I welcome men to come to my workshops to work with this, and it would just be their own inner experience, what it's like to have the healthy feminine in them, which would be a good thing. I mean,
100%.
Well, often with men who have developed, you know, I can't speak for all men that have mental health issues, but say a lot of the time it's they didn't have the right relationship with their mother.
Yep.
And so for them to seek it within themselves, with their own inner love, and to get that relationship, sometimes things like this can be a bit good tool.
I think that's so true, dude.
Yeah.
Hugely.
Yeah.
I think it's really important. What do you think we need to do in the world to bring this more to the kind of like forefront of people's thinking? Because a lot of people, the world is starting to get better with getting therapy, talking about, et cetera, like that. Mm-hmm. But how do you think, or what can we do to kind of bring what you know to the front of other people's minds? What steps do we to take?
Just living your life how you want it to be. Yeah. So walking the walk, not just talking the talk. Yeah. That applies to all of us. So naturally in your own daily life, people will be inspired. Mm. And you'll naturally inspire them. It's like dropping something into a pond and have that ripple effect. Yeah. You're constantly creating that ripple effect every moment of your life and you're interacting with people. So I would say the biggest thing that any of us can do is to work on ourselves.
Okay.
And by doing that, then all of us are expanding, and it's a synergy thing that when we're all doing it, the energy is raised, and that's when change is going to happen.
I think that's actually my favorite answer. I always ask that question to people when I speak to them, how are we going to do this? And that was the least kind of like pressury answer. Everyone else is like, we have to do this and we have to get up and do this, which is great, and we need that.
Oh, we do.
But
yeah.
A lot of the time it's like, oh God, I'm not doing enough, or have I been feminist enough today, or have I but I really like that. That's really nice and chill.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, when we're focusing on our personal growth and just being a better person, our own morals emerge, and that's our own guide. Intuition should be our own guide.
Yeah.
We listen to intuition most when we know how to clear and calm our mind. So I would say the first thing to do is like become mindful of your daily thoughts.
Mm.
See if that's shaping the reality that you want or you don't want, and then
that's mindfulness is becoming a big thing lately, isn't it? It's going, do you think it's good? Is that a good development?
It is. I mean, don't get me wrong, sometimes when things become trendy, it does piss me off a bit.
Yeah.
But it's a good thing. No, it's good. The more that it's accessible. I mean, my brother's like got books on mindfulness now, and I was like, I never thought that would happen.
Really?
So yeah, it's a good thing, really.
That's so great. So we are waking up a little bit.
Of course.
Well, would you say it was waking up, or are we just kind of going back to where we learned all this stuff initially before organized religion?
Oh, yeah, relearning, rediscovering.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's really important. Mel, thank you so much. I've had such a good chat with you today.
It's been my pleasure.
No, I feel so chill out here in this wonderful nature of it too. This is definitely the most different podcast episode I've ever recorded.
Happy to be a part of it.
Have you got anything that you want to plug that's coming up for you?
Well, I have on the Friday a bit of go-go dancing. Yeah, that was so much fun.
Oh yeah,
on my days, it's the closest I'll ever get to feel like Corey Taylor on stage. They were playing, what was it? Anna was playing Slipknot, and I just went nuts, and the crowd followed my lead.
I'm so glad. I'm so happy that you're part of our team. Obviously, you came on board a disgrace to do belly dancing with the snake, and then to have you go-go dance at Download 2 was such an amazing experience. Yeah. Like, I had so much positive feedback about you.
Oh, thank you.
It was so amazing.
Well, this is why I love dancing with you girls, because you fit in exactly with, like, not just my work in other aspects with my coaching and counselling.
Yeah.
Female empowerment, but just my own like life. I love being around and surrounded by strong women.
Aw, dude, you're making me blush. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Keep doing what you're doing.
Aw, and you too, girl. How would somebody go about accessing your services if they feel like they need them?
So best way to do, just be contact me on social media. Okay. On my Instagram, on my Facebook, there are links to my website. You can just drop me a message there as well.
Amazing. Yeah. I think I might have to get in contact with you.
Yeah.
Or I just need to come around and play with the snakes.
Just come play with my snakes.
Amazing. I want to see them.
Honestly, I think they do the work and I just facilitate it.
It's all about guidance and stuff, huh?
Yes.
Everything works in a nice little synergy.
Yeah. Well, end of the day, I'm a mirror for you. So.
Yeah.
Well, we're all mirrors for each other.
Damn right, girl. What a bombshell to end on. Thank you so much, Mal. Thank you. All right, guys. Thank you so much for tuning in. Mwah. See ya.
See ya.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com. A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.